and welcome to the Money Marketing Podcast. I'm Katie Piglin, the editor of the publication, and I'm delighted you can join us for the latest instalment of our weekend essay series. My dad was always a massive music fan. From about the age of 14, he started collecting records, and that collection grew and grew and grew. He was delighted when they became back into fashion, as he never got rid of that collection, and I have now inherited it. But in the years in between, he would adopt whatever the latest musical technology was, whether it be cassette tapes, CDs, or the very latest digital offerings we have now. He was always far ahead of me in adopting any of those technologies, and often knew the latest singers and songwriters before I did. Technology is great when it works, but it can be very frustrating when it doesn't. As you will hear from our features writer, Amanda Newman-Smith, in this latest episode. Enjoy.
Weekend essay. What do data quality challenges mean for digital and automated advice? Google Assistant is everywhere in my house. What started as a birthday gift for my eldest quickly became Christmas gifts for my other two kids and a family subscription to Spotify. The following year, I bought my husband a Google Nest with smart screen for his birthday, and our kids won't leave it alone. Within a few months, they'd all upgraded their basic Google Nest to smart display versions. The basic ones moved to other rooms, including the kitchen. I would have killed for a Google Nest with Spotify when I was growing up. One of my earliest memories is creating a dance routine to Blondie's Heart of Glass, the 7-inch single whirling round and round on my Toy Frisco Disco record player. At college, I'd buy several versions of the same CD single, just so I could hear all the B-sides referred to in music weeklies like NME. So now, being able to ask Google to play any song I want to hear while I wash up or cook still feels magical to me in a way that my kids don't understand, as they've always had YouTube. That's not to say it's perfect, however. Sometimes the Google and Spotify dream team bugs me. When I've asked for a night like this from The Cure's live album Show, it's because I love that version without the datey-datey sax solo more than the original. But Google and Spotify and all their wisdom play either the original or a completely different track by Caro Emerald. It's hit and miss. The only surefire way to hear what I want is to ask for the whole Show album and then skip the tracks ahead a bit. My kids have been in stitches on other occasions when Google Assistant hasn't quite got it right. They recently asked it, "Who's Shrek's dad?" Only to be told, "Shrek's father is the father of Shrek." Technically, that is correct, but useful. Only if you want to create 10 minutes of chaos as three laughing kids ask Google about Shrek's mom, sister, brother, uncle, and so on. There's a serious point behind my reason for mentioning all this. As an everyday example of AI, Google Assistant can do some amazing things, but it doesn't always deliver as expected. Perhaps because I've framed my requests in a way that's not programmed to understand, or because the information has been programmed to tap into is scant or non-existent. Given that humans who make mistakes have biases, limitations, moments of inconsistency and off days, design AI systems, feed them data and provide oversight, should we be surprised or alarmed on the occasions when they don't quite deliver as expected? I almost feel sorry for poor old Google Assistant trying to keep up with our demands. It's frustrating, but as poor outcomes go, playing the wrong song isn't the end of the world. In the context of financial advice, however, an AI system getting it wrong potentially has serious implications for clients' financial futures and financial firms from a regulatory perspective. This is what complicates the use of AI in financial services, and as someone, I can't remember who, mentioned to me the other week, complication means higher costs. I was speaking to Wealth Wizard Simon Binney recently about the role of AI in financial advice. He was saying that the main cost of financial advice is the time spent talking to an advisor about various things. In Binney's view, automating simple things like topping up pensions brings this within everyone's reach as it's not using the advisor's time. Complex things like DB transfers can also benefit from automating parts of the process to reduce time and enable advisors to see more clients. Technology can't replicate the way advisors talk to clients to understand how their money can help them live the lives they want. But if you serve wealthy clients more efficiently using automation, advisors can see more clients and everyone gets the advice they need at more affordable rates. I love the fact that people who don't have the levels of wealth that make traditional financial advice cost-effective do have other options, thanks to partly automated or fully automated services. One of the things that is so great about automation, as distinct from pure digital advice offered through robo-advice, is that it can bring the cost of financial advice down by doing a lot of the heavy lifting involved in financial advice. freeing up the advisor's time, as Vinny says. That is what came out of my recent chat with Yellowtail Financial Planning founder Ben Tall. Tall has been automating parts of the advice process to give us the ability to work a four-day week and get a better work-life balance. But cost is one of the things that he mentioned as a potential obstacle for firms keen to automate their process. Technology is expensive, and if the big challenge for the use of AI in financial services is data quality, as the Financial Conduct Authority has recognised, it will be interesting to see how this plays out. Presumably, advice firms who want automation to become a bigger part of their businesses will end up paying a premium to specialist third parties to ensure data is clean and fit for purpose within an AI context to please the regulator. You can't argue with the need to take care of the quality of the data that goes into an automated service, as that determines the quality of what comes out. Like the human body, if you feed it rubbish, the output will reflect that. However, quality has higher cost implications in our world. Junk food is cheap. Organic produce such as chicken is more expensive. I'm not surprised that this translates into health inequalities, with higher obesity and diabetes among the poorest people in society. I wonder whether overcoming the challenges presented by data quality will have similar implications for financial advice, with the wealthier getting better quality choices because they can afford it. We all know how difficult it has been for robo-advice firms like Nutmeg to make money because the cost of investing in technology outweighs the money they receive from fees. This doesn't appear to be changing anytime soon, but it didn't stop JP Morgan Chase from buying Nutmeg. If getting the right quality of data is complex, with the additional costs that will almost certainly entail, how sustainable is robo-advice, and how accessible are hybrid advice models for people who are most affected by the advice gap? I would hate automation to become nothing more than a means for wealthier clients to save on advice fees, despite Simon Binney's view that this helps everyone. People who can't afford traditional financial advice deserve more than being helped by default. I'm no expert when it comes to data, but from what I've read, the data that goes into any AI system needs to be accurate, free from inconsistencies and so forth. If it's clean and reliable, that is how it can improve efficiency, by being the best that a human could be, all of the time. That's something that Binny was talking about, how hybrid advice firms can use AI systems to regulate the advice they give. Previous cases of DB transfers, for example, can be fed into the system to show what the firm's advice policy is, and any future cases that are out of alignment can be flagged up. Much as we'd like to be the best that we can be all the time, and we strive to do just that, the reality of being human makes it impossible. I stumbled across an interview with the Irish stand-up comedian and actress Aisling Bea with Lorraine Kelly recently. Bea was talking about her role in the Netflix comedy drama Living With Yourself, which is about a man who discovered he's been cloned and replaced by a better version of himself. Bea's point was that we all think we can be better than we are, as if there's a best version of ourselves. But when we are that person, it's often because on that one day, everything came together. AI has the potential to help firms deliver the best that they can all of the time, but only if the data it starts with is the best that it can be. If it isn't, the mistake that was made on an off day, for example, will feed into the process and impact on future output, amplifying and multiplying the original error. Machines achieve much more than we can do manually. They do everything faster than us, more consistently than us, in greater volumes than us, which is great when it has the correct data to work with, but an absolute nightmare when it doesn't. The recent Alan Turing Institute report, AI and Financial Services, says that data quality, both the quality of the data that systems draw on during their operation and the data used in developing them, is crucial. Data needs to be accurate, recent, complete, and all the rest of it, but problems with data quality can be difficult to spot. Someone recently explained to me that the beauty of machine learning, one form of AI, is that it can carve up and analyse patterns in massive volumes of data in ways that would not be possible for the human mind, and adapt as it learns from new data. At the time, I was blown away at how amazing that was, but since then, I've wondered how easy this would be to keep track of. In the Turing report, the authors make the point that machine learning can create challenges in understanding how a model's output relates to its input variables. If you feed the machine and can't see exactly how it's digesting new data and what direction it's taking on the way out, a proper understanding of the process and its output may elude you. How can you provide the necessary oversight if you can't understand how the system went from A to B? That bothers me. Going back to the music theme, my kids played me the new AI Nirvana song, Drowned in the Sun, a little while back. It was odd. The vocals were supplied by Eric Hogan, lead singer of the Nirvana tribute band Nevermind, and all the musical hallmarks of a typical Nirvana song were there. I learned that this was because Nirvana's back catalogue was fed into the Google AI program Magenta, and something called an artificial neural network to create a new song. Amazing. So 27 years after Kurt Cobain's death, I found myself listening to a Nirvana song that he never wrote or performed, but which sounded like he had. Impressive, but it made me uneasy as well. Just because AI enables you to do something that seems to push the boundaries, does it mean you should?
Thank you, Amanda. Technology is certainly advancing quicker than most of us can prepare ourselves for. I do wonder what will be round the corner. I'm sure there's lots of opportunities for advisors as well as potential challenges for them to overcome. Don't forget you can follow us on LinkedIn and Twitter to keep up with all the latest content that we put out there. Sign up to our newsletter on moneymarketing.co.uk, and if you want to keep listening to the podcast, you can access them from Apple, Podbean, Spotify, or directly from the Money Marketing website. Until next time, goodbye.